with us, Jim Beal, who's an expert on electromagnetic fields. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about EMF fields and how it relates to health and also how it relates to consciousness. How are you, Jim?
Oh, just fine. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for coming on.
Happy New Year.
So tell us a little bit about you and your background before we get started.
Well, for the past 60 years or so, I've been interested in what might be called anomalous phenomena, unusual events, collecting information on just about everything that's unusual, and reading up on things, very interested in archaeology and anthropology and outer space and science fiction and things like that. And, of course, quite often when you're very young, you get interested in things while eventually you get into those areas. So I ended up working for NASA for about 10 years on the Apollo and the Saturn V program, and then another 16 years at Martin Marietta on the space shuttle fuel tank. And all of that had to do with inspection, looking at components and seeing how they might have failed, and using such things as ultrasonic and infrared and CAT scanning, you know, computed tomography, and all kinds of methods. Of course, I was always looking for interesting areas in the area of healing. And when I had big problems in inspecting space components, space vehicle components, I'd go to two of the places that had the toughest problems, and that would be the atomic energy people or the hospitals, because those are two of the most difficult areas to inspect. And, of course, I met a lot of interesting people and got into the fringe of some of the most interesting research in the healing and hazardous effects of electromagnetic fields. A lot of that material comes from overseas. Work has been done over there for decades. We've been neglecting it here in this country since 1920. And, I helped form Institute of Noetic Sciences with Edgar Mitchell back in 73, and have been involved basically as a networker and journalist in sharing information in some of these areas that used to be considered pretty weird, but it become pretty evident right from the very beginning. For example, that women are far more sensitive to electrical fields than men, and about four times more when it gets right down to it. But that's another thing we can talk about later. Mm-hmm. So always interested in new areas of healing and getting away from the chemicals and the side effects that we have with drugs, and are even combining the two, electrical therapies and drugs for better healing. If you can heal, you can also harm, you know, control versus uncontrol.
You also did some work with Fetzer and the Monroe Institute and neuroscience and consciousness studies, didn't you?
Right. Well, the Fetzer Institute helped fund me for a number of overseas trips, and I published in one of their publications, the Monroe Institute. I'm on their board of advisors and have been involved there since about 1970. Of course, they started out in the early days of people who had problems with drugs going out of body and thinking very afraid that they were going to die. And he, having some original experience and doing some research in the area, helped those people, you might say, get their feet back on the ground. And then he went on to find out that certain sound frequencies were very relaxing. You get down the brainwave, low frequencies below 14 cycles. And found out that if you put people in a relaxed state for several days, or maybe 16 hours a day, all kinds of interesting gifts, creative types of things come forth that we don't normally get involved with in this culture. Because anytime you're laying around more than 7 hours of sleep, you're considered to be goofing off. And actually, it's a great time for a lot of sleep, get caught up on things, get your energy going, and all kinds of things come out of the dream state. Most of our most popular inventions that we have today, including brainwave monitoring and brainwave analysis, things like that, came because of some unusual event that occurred in a person's life or in a person's dream.
Yeah, consciousness kind of drops in all at one time like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, consciousness is kind of difficult to work with because we're right in the middle of it. And how do you get perspective? And with all my background looking at different cultures and spiritual pursuits, religions, things like that, there's a lot of different approaches here, been around for thousands of years, that finally we're beginning to recognize a few of these. I actually think some people are able to get an objective view on consciousness, but when they do, we can't understand them because they're too far out and we consider them crazy. But that's another story. It's just a whole fascinating area. We know very, very little about our own consciousness, and what it can do and how we affect the environment in ways not normally considered beyond the five senses.
So why don't we just start out at the beginning and you tell my listening audience what exactly is an EMF field?
Oh, okay. Well,
how does it?
We wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for electromagnetic fields, magnetic and electric, and how they combine and the different frequencies and the different waveforms in those frequencies and different pauses and how fast it rises and falls. A whole bunch of different factors here create a form of coded information. This was very basic in the evolution of all creatures on Earth, from simple microorganisms to whales, including human beings. And we're very much tuned into to the fields of the Earth. And these are very, very small. Of course, people like the people in the deserts of southern Africa, the Bushmen, the Aborigines of Australia, are very tuned in to the voices of the Earth, and they know, for example, when earthquakes have occurred, they feel them, and they take, well, I'm thinking about animals here, too, as well as some people, and they head for a place of safety. Very interesting movie about that would be take a look at the volcano, check it out when Yellowstone National Park goes sky high with a big volcanic explosion. The animals leave early, and that was a very interesting part of the picture, very representative in the tsunami.
That's what happened with that tsunami, isn't it?
Yeah, I was getting to that. Yeah, the tsunami situation. That earthquake occurred quite a period of time before the tsunami hit the shore, and so the animals got to notice and headed out. So most of the wild animals, anyway, got away from that one by going inland. And you know the situations where people are, especially if they had arthritis or broken bone or something like that, we'll get aches and pains before a big storm comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And animals pick up hurricanes and tornadoes and head for places of safety long before people generally feel these things. You can pick up tornadoes coming on the television, just tuning to a station where there isn't any broadcasting, and when the screen turns white, you know it's coming to head for the cellar.
Really?
Yeah, that's been around for many years. But see, storms have tremendous electrical characteristics. In the forefront of a storm, you have a situation where people can get very tired, reaction times are changed, slowed down, and they get sleepy and tired, especially older people. And after a storm passes, well, you know, it smells good and everybody feels energized because the air has been charged up by the lightning. But to get back to the fields of Earth, there are certain... Every species has a particular range of electrical frequencies and intensities that help it survive. And it's tuned into these frequencies, just like on a radio, you tune into a radio station. Well, this gives information that helps the organism survive one way or another. And it's called window frequencies. And in our artificial situations that we have with electromagnetic fields, we're interfering with a lot of this information that species use for survival. I'm thinking in particular of the frogs right now, the problems the frogs are having, chemical, electrical as well as chemical. That's one area. Of course, a lot of others, the birds getting terribly confused around microwave towers and crashing into the towers or the wires and having problems navigating. Pigeons especially have real problems when it gets into a lot of microwave towers that are around cities. We're interfering with basic natural electromagnetic processes having to do with life processes and other creatures, including ourselves, and that's something I've really been interested in, especially the aspects of healing that have been sadly neglected in this country.
So do the electromagnetic fields, do they override our natural states, or do they interfere?
Oh, very much so. They're thousands of times stronger than the Earth's fields, and it's interesting that one of the principal Earth frequencies, it's an average, it's not always that, is around 7.86 cycles, which is right in your relaxed brainwave frequency area over the whole world. It's called Schumann resonance. It goes anywhere from part of one cycle to 100 cycles, depending upon the weather and location and all. But it's interesting in that so many of these Earth cycles are down in the areas, of course, I guess that's the way we've developed, of natural frequencies in the body itself. The whole body is electrochemical, And people who are chemically sensitive often are electrically sensitive, whether they know it or not. Nothing can live without electromagnetic changing fields in the system. And that's just finally getting recognized in this country, but just barely. They talk in the biological systems about the synaptic junction, and the information is traveling across the junction from one cell to one nerve impulse to another, and that's relatively slow. But when you think about what happens in the Olympics and people moving very, very fast in sports and gymnastics, it's got to be almost instantaneous information. And, of course, most of the information is stored in the body. We don't store a lot of information in the head. Most of it is stored in the body. You can store about 3 billion bits per square inch in the body through the liquid crystal components of all life systems. That's at least one place where we store information. Yeah. Very interesting area.
Tell us here what liquid crystals are, and I'm curious also now that we brought that up. Is that the same thing that Fritz Popp was researching with the biophotons, or is that tied in?
Well, that's part of the emission of energy from the cells. I mean, you see, we emit energy in all kinds of spectra and areas. We, of course, most people are aware that we emit heat, and biophotons are light, but you can't see those normally. It'd be a pitch black room with very sensitive electronics to pick that information up. But also there's ultraviolet and infrared and even microwave, which was shown to be emitted by people in very, very low intensity back in 1974. From Canada, Queen's College in Kingston, Ontario, where they were talking about the effects of very, very long-term effects of very, very low microwave energies, which we've seen come about through cell phones and Wi-Fi and all the wireless stuff that's starting to permeate the atmosphere. And liquid crystals, I'll go further on liquid crystals. Everybody's familiar with liquid crystals, whether you know it or not, because all of the display screens, your LCD means liquid crystal display. That's the electrical characteristics of liquid crystals. These are in the lipid forms throughout all living systems that help support the proteins and how they work within the body. And these are fantastically sensitive information storage types of things that are based down on the molecular area through processes known as polarization and shifting of the various molecular layers, and sensitive to everything you can imagine in different chemical mixtures. Primarily, the main one we know is the pneumatic, the electric, that we have in all of our displays. That basically initially was derived from slaughtered cattle in that particular one. But let's see, we have all these liquid crystals do fantastic sensitivity changes in temperature, light, mechanical stress, chemical concentrations, and EMF potentials. And these are all in every living system, and that's where we store the information, a lot of it. Some of you in the listening audience may be aware of what happens in deep tissue massage and Rolfing, things like that, when suddenly somebody remembers something, usually traumatic, has been stored in the body somewhere, and remember all complete details of something that may have happened decades ago that's released when you relieve the tension in that particular area. So all I can say is you can Google it up on liquid crystals and more information you ever wanted to know, and it gives you a really quick tie-in as to why electromagnetic fields can influence living systems, both good if it's controlled, as it has been in Europe for decades for healing, or uncontrolled, where you don't know what you're getting, and you're right in the midst, in the city, in the midst of a tremendous number of microwave towers and antennae. And there's all kinds of problems that can occur here. But liquid crystals is a fascinating area, and a good place to read up on some of this is the work of James Oshman, Oshman, in his energy medicine book. And another really good one for people that want an easy read and understand more about this is The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. And for those of you who want to find out how many hundreds, literally hundreds, of antennae and towers are around you, all you have to do is dial up www.antennasearch.com. That will bring up every antenna and tower around, who owns it, where, how far away it is from you, and how tall it is.
Interesting.
Amazing
thing.
What is
your website? Because you've got a lot of information.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of really pertinent information as a network I've collected over the years. My website is www.emfinterface, E-M-F-I-N-T-E-R-F-A-C-E, interface.com. And that will really fill you in on a lot of things because I have a CD of about 30 megabytes, which covers pretty well the full area of the healing and hazardous aspects of EMF and kind of why it's been pretty much neglected in this country.
Now, are there different, let's see how to say this, are there different varieties of EMF fields that affect us, and natural EMF fields that affect us? I mean, like, I know there's the things that go on at the aeronautics, like at NASA, and then we have the cell phones, and then we have the towers. Do they all cause different diseases and illnesses, or do they all kind of do the same thing?
You know, I get the question all the time, well, how far should my house be if we have a visible tower or a visible electric power line somewhere around? And you can't tell anybody, give anybody a really good value there because you never know what's on the line. And that all depends on what amount of power is being used or messages being sent and whether it's a weekend or during the day or whether it's night. All these problems come in, and the best thing you can do is live where there's the fewest amount of these towers around, because they've proved conclusively the past more than 10 years. I've got a really good report from 2000, one of the best ones out yet, by Dr. Neil Cherry, N-E-I-L-C-H-E-R-R-Y, out of New Zealand, which is about a 50-page summary of all the research that's gone on for some time. You can look it up on Google, Neil Cherry, and find out all the necessary background. But this is long. I'm talking long-term effects, else we would have studied this a long time ago. People aren't falling over, but there are clusters of problems coming up, depending on particular areas. We're starting to read more and more about cancer clusters. I think particular one going on in Fallon, Nevada right now, where quite a large number of children are having leukemia problems. There's several military bases and airports or two around there with all kinds of microwave going around. And they have been in there and done millions of dollars worth of epidemiological surveys and haven't found anything that could possibly be a problem. But the idea is nobody has looked at the microwave and EMF components. It's a very delicate issue when it comes to the military and commercial interests, you see.
I've also noticed when I do interviews and also just randomly when I do, you know, my medical intuitive readings, that a lot of the people that either work at or live near somewhere where they, like their Air Force bases where they do a lot of very high frequency work,
mm-hmm.
or either a nuclear waste site or reactor mm-hmm. site, they have glioblastomas. What
yep,
is it
right.
that these EMF fields are doing to cause such a rapidly growing kind of cancer?
Well, we have to be careful of saying it's all EMF. There is no silver bullet. Scientists like to have one particular cause of everything, but what we're looking at here is a host of environmental stressors that we've brought into it with our own technology development. It's not just the electrical, it's the chemical, it's the environmental, it's the psychological stress, all the other stresses that we have in our environment all add up together, and whatever's the weakest part of the body is what gives problems. And so it's often when you find people, for example, fibromyalgia and chemical sensitivity and chronic fatigue and sleep problems, is often, you know, get all electrical stuff out of the bedroom, number one. And number two, try to get all food with artificial flavor and things like that. And I don't know which ones these are, but there's a lot of estrogen mimics out there now in the plastics and certain food containers and things like that that really throw an estrogen overload in women, especially as they get older. And the body just can't keep up with this kind of a thing. So you'll find most of my clients are women in menopausal years or later that are having all kinds of problems with sleep and headaches and memory problems, in some cases rashes, and have been running into some miscarriages here and there. I have some papers on that. Neil Cherry gets into that some in his publications. Again, it's something that doesn't hit you over the head right away, and that's one One problem is this being a long-term kind of thing. We want to worry with cell phones, especially about very young children, older people, and people that have medical problems, and using a phone, wireless, any kind of wireless equipment for many hours a day. I have, I've got a laptop is absolutely the best you can have if you're going to have a computer with a liquid crystal display screen. But something I found out recently, not even in my literature, is the fact that all laptops, when they come to you from the store, are set for Wi-Fi, meaning that they're broadcasting a signal right into your lap, very, very strong microwave that is searching for a Wi-Fi connection. And you don't need that in your life unless you want to get in touch with a Wi-Fi connection for a while. But be aware, anytime you're on Wi-Fi, you've got all that stuff coming into your lap. So you look for a little button on the side of your laptop that shuts it off. I have equipment, you know, to check these kinds of things, and I was really amazed to see that and found out what to do right away. But other than that, the liquid crystal display screen is far, far better for you than all of the radiations that come out of what I call the big box monitors, you know, the big TV box monitor type thing.
Well, what can you do about it at home?
Well, at home,
you do a lot of things that give people a lot of relief.
The easiest thing you can do as far as getting a good night's sleep is get all electrical stuff out of the bedroom. In fact, the best thing you can do is shut off all electrical, the circuit that goes to the bedroom, if possible. Get everything else about 4 feet away from the bed, if you can, especially from your head. And because the wires in the wall in all homes, move your bed out about at least a foot from the wall. Use bookcase headboard. That works out pretty good. Electrical stuff is easy to shield, like grounded metal, aluminum foil, something like that, but it has to be grounded or put in metal conduits like they do in industrial buildings. Magnetic fields are difficult to shield, and when you do, it's very expensive. The worst thing I've seen in my home business and property inspections has been the breaker box panel right in the bedroom. Completely ruined a beautiful master bedroom in a home I inspected a few months ago. And the woman couldn't sleep in there. The other bedrooms were okay, but not in that particular one. Well, what do I do? You know, here's a nice home, and they can't use a master bedroom or bathroom for long periods of time. I said, oh, you can take a bath in there. You can be in there for a few hours at a time, but for God's sake, don't sleep in there because you won't get good sleep, and it's not good for you long term. Your body's fighting stress. You know, it's those fight or flight type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another stress, and Lord knows we've got enough stresses in our life already.
So, do you have some machines or something that you use, or how do you do it?
Well, for businesses, I've had a couple of large businesses, a studio, a dance massage, yoga studio, and for that, because I could see 18 microwave towers across the highway within about 4 miles of the place and picked up about 100 around it, but since it was kind of set into a hill, I only had to worry about it from one side. So what we did is put metal screen wire on the windows. Well, metal screens on windows are pretty common, and metal screen wire in the walls before they put the wallboard on. Now, this is very important that any metal screen wire used for microwave shielding cannot be grounded, because if you do, microwave, being radar, bounces off. You don't want it grounded, because if you ground it, you don't have the shielding effect. So that gets rid of the microwave. Anything metal will reflect the microwave. So you can use that. You can use your basic heat thermal barrier material, which is metalized metal on both sides of a real thin bubble plastic. Will do the same thing, but it cannot be grounded. Magnetic fields is distance is the main thing there, and because there's magnetic fields in all the wiring in your building when it's turned on, then you want to be away from it a distance. That's why you move the bed out and preferably turn off all the electricity to the bedroom. Now, for those listening who want to get additional information and find out where to get inexpensive instruments to measure what you've got, or what to do, or how to shut off the electricity, the breaker box remotely, you want to go to envirotest.com, www.envirotest, envirotest.com, which is Canadian, or lessemf, lessemf.com here in the United States. And there'll be lots of information, especially on the Canadian Envirotest, on the hazardous aspects and how to shield yourself against it. Let me ask you a question here.
Hmm? Some people think that it has to be a large amount of EMF fields for it to affect you. Is that true, or can just minor EMF stimulation affect your health and your sleep patterns, and not only that, but your thought patterns, you know, the firing of the neurons in your brain.
Yeah, yes to all of that.
And what about video games that you would play?
Yeah, that's something, because video games are changing rapidly and stimulating brainwave as well as making kids, some kids that are maybe hyperactive already, ADD or ADHD, it only makes things worse. They did some interesting things just with unbalanced light spectra. Many years ago, when first color televisions came out, Dr. John Ott did a lot of work, time-lapse photography, showing that kids that spent a lot of time in front of the TV tended to be hyperactive, you know, just taking shots every few seconds. You can see right away when kids get hyperactive in front of the TV. So he did an experiment and took the kids away that were using TV a good bit, and they all calmed down except for one little girl, and it turned out the TV set was on the other side of the wall from her bed, you know, at the back of the TV where all the transformers are. That kind of thing. So things are kind of getting out of hand. It looks like more bodies are going to fall before we're really going to do anything as far as cleaning up the mess from a microwave standpoint. And as an engineer, being fairly aware of what's going on in space research, I fully expect that antenna towers and Wi-Fi systems as such are all going to go satellite, and everything you've got out now will be obsolete except for maybe some minor communication stuff, simply because they're able to use much, much lower frequencies now and much more sensitive electronic equipment. And then, of course, companies can sell much more equipment to people, you know, improve cell phones and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of interesting to see what the corporations are doing. One last thing, in cell phone companies, they have bought up all of the shielding patents. You can shield cell phones pretty easy by going to MicroShield in Canada, getting a little kind of like an envelope with metal screen wire over it that covers up the cell phone and everything but the antenna. You can still, you know, read it and punch the numbers and everything like that. But you only have the antenna exposed, mm-hmm. so you don't get 90% of radiation going into your head. And using cell phones are several things. Get yourself a speakerphone, number one. Don't have it up to your ear anymore than you can help. Use a flip-top cell phone with an external antenna. That way there's less radiation going into your head. And listen more than you talk, because listening is like receiving from a radio, and talking is you got a radio station in your head or by your head. And if you wear a communication device on your belt, especially women who are very sensitive to these things, there's some problems there too. Move it around some. Don't leave it in one spot on your body all the time, because these microwave communication devices are always trying to get back in touch with you to know where you are, and there's some radiation hazards there too.
I guess that means those earpieces that people are using, that mm-hmm. those Wi-Fi earpieces are really hazardous.
Yeah, our earpieces are not good because they've got a wire going to your cell phone device, and that acts as an antenna. What you want to get is an air tube earpiece, and the air tube earpieces, you can get those from EnviroTest, probably from Less EMF. They're about $25-$30. And it's like on the airplanes where you listen into the radio on the airplanes, and that's an air tube that you stick a plug into the armrest.
Mm-hmm.
And that, see, having an air tube in there means there's no electrical energy traveling down the wires to your head. And I would think we need to be a little bit careful about how much we wear these Bluetooth devices in our ear, because keep in mind the whole body is electrical, and even sound going into your ears is transformed into electrical energy in the cochlea right next to your brain. So just kind of watch, keep an eye out for what's happening, as well as illnesses in this area.
What is the difference between if it's frequencies, electromagnetic frequencies that's affecting us, and that it also can heal us? What is the difference between the frequencies that come out of, say, a Rife machine and those of fluorescent light? Why does one heal and one hurts you?
Well, most I can say about Rife equipment and summertime devices, these are very strong, and they do have some effects that have been researched to some extent. Fluorescent lights do not. Their frequencies will depend on the brand of the light and what's in that little transformer that's up there in the fluorescence. Besides, you're getting extremely poor light balance unless you go get by a full-spectrum fluorescence if you can afford them. And, you know, it's interesting. We buy full-spectrum fluorescence, or at least the blue light fluorescence for our growing our plants and taking care of our fish and aquariums inside, but we don't do that for ourselves. It's better to use full-spectrum incandescent, and I know that that's using more energy. If you got to use fluorescents, keep them as far away from you as possible, and preferably don't use them for reading or anything like that because of poor light balance. You need to get outdoors as much as possible in the real sunlight if you possibly can.
Does that pulsing in those kind of fluorescent lights do anything to you?
I'm sorry, what?
The pulse, you know how the light
pulses. Oh, the pulse, yeah, sure. All pulse is far more effective. AC is far more effective biologically than DC. Any kind of a pulse system with sharp waveforms, they call it sawtooth and sharp rise time, square wave, this kind of stuff, where the energy goes up real quick. It's like a jab. And that's very biologically effective. That's why digital phones, anything digital, is more biologically effective, both for curing or for hazardous situations. So you've got that kind of pulsing situation in the fluorescent, especially the older units.
Mm-hmm. How is that pulsing and different from the frequency machine pulsing?
Well, it's all frequency. It's just the frequency and the pulse. The same thing. You got so many cycles per second, so many cycles per second, so many pulses per second. But then each one of these pulses is not nice and smooth, especially they talk about 60 pulses per second coming into the home. Yeah, that's great, but you've got all kinds of crap that's on top of it. It's coming in from the neighbors, stuff shutting on and off in your own home, cycling and that kind of stuff. So you get a very jaggedy 60 cycle coming into your home. And combining that with all the other stuff that you've got around you in the home that's electrical, it creates a very rough situation for inducing all kinds of unnecessary stress. And it's so important that where you sleep and where you can and where you work, but primarily where you sleep and rest, has got to be as clean as possible, where you get a good night's sleep, of clean as possible of anything electrical.
What do you think about those bio shields for blocking EMF fields?
Well, as an engineer and being aware that there's so much we do not know about consciousness and how we affect the environment as well as the environment affecting us, we have to keep that in mind. There's a lot of stuff coming out now that shows that people can affect the environment in all kinds of ways. And I don't know for sure. The claims on these things are not from a conventional physics standpoint. It is not accepted by general science that these work. However, I've looked into these for quite some years and see cases where they do work very well and where they don't work at all. And so I'm skeptical, but I'm keeping the door open, saying that we don't know what's happening. I kind of think this might be what one might call high-tech talismans. These use certain combinations of crystals and materials that, while it does not negate the EMF in an area that you can pick up with any instruments, supposedly it kind of shields the body from the effects of the EMF frequencies. Well, that's nice to say, but so far as I know, they've never been able to prove it conclusively with lots of tests and blind tests and stuff like that. So there's such a thing as intentionality and placebo effect, and we cannot neglect the placebo effect. It's very, very important in the healing area, and some people, of course, are much more susceptible to what they've been told, especially if they pay a lot of money for it, and there's a lot of good anecdotal evidence and some other research evidence that it works. So basically, my thing is caveat emptor, and let the buyer beware, and be sure you've got a money back guarantee on these, and try them out and see for yourself. I'm not going to say they don't work or they do work. It's just that right now it's an area we don't understand very well. So I have to put it in those terms.
Now let's talk. I wanted to ask you a few minutes ago about this. I got distracted by something else you were saying. We were talking about fluctuating waveforms and frequencies, and that information was encoded in those.
Mm-hmm.
If you can explain to my audience what we mean when we say information is encoded within those, and then how is that information interpreted by mind and brain?
Well, this, mind you, is subliminal, and it's kind of equivalent to what they used to have in Morse code, you know, where you're doing all these signals, dots and dashes and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that, and people who were trained to understand the dots and dashes could pick up information that way. But what you've got a whole bunch of different things that are occurring in any kind of electromagnetic situation, AC, alternating current, varying current, you've got a waveform that we talk about as like sinusoidal or bell-shaped kind of a thing, but it's not that simple. There's what's called fast rise time, as I mentioned earlier, where you've got a signal that starts at zero and goes up to maybe several hundred or several thousand volts immediately, and then settles in at a high value, and then drops after a few thousands of a second.
Now, are we talking about in the brain here, or where are we talking about?
We're talking about the whole body. Everything is exposed to this in the vicinity of the particular field. And the magnetic components go right into the body, the whole body. And if the body, cell receptors that are tuned to certain electrical frequencies pick up on that signal, it disturbs them, kind of like I said, picking up a station on the radio by a particular wave shape, that sudden rise time thing, and a certain frequency, certain times per second. It gives information that touches off, rings a bell, you might say, but touches off receptors in a cell to cause the cell to react and fire the nerve and cause perhaps a stress overload further down as more cells come online, you know, and send a signal. But almost all of this is subliminal, unless you happen to be electrically sensitive yourself, you know, and you're picking up on getting close to anything that's electrical. There's just so many bits of information that come through on electromagnetic waves. And all of this used to be, you know, on the Earth itself, and now we're getting all this swamp overload of stuff, both very, very weak, very, very high. And one thing that the listeners should know is now we're starting to get perhaps some explanation to homeopathy, because extremely small, right down to the quantum level, means as small as we can measure, are finding out that, again, not intensity, but the wave forms, the shapes of the wave, and how many times it happens per second, things like that. The biological system is extremely, extremely finely tuned to these kind of things, because these are thousands of times lower than what you're getting in a radio broadcast, you see, things like that. So
that's just another question that I had. When you do use these pulsating frequency machines, like the blood zapper, Bob Beck's blood zapper, mine has a rheostat on it. You know, where it can go low to high. And I asked somebody the other day, how do you get it to, if you have a cancer, say, like on an ovary, how do you get it to treat that ovary rather than just cleansing the blood? And he said, well, the lower that you turn that rheostat, the better it's going to help the whole body. That if you want to turn it higher, it does surface things like skin cancers or cleansing the blood. Is that true?
Well, I know Bob Beck and his work. I have a high regard for it. But again, it's not just ever, it's going to happen for every individual, just for some people in a certain state of health. I'd certainly try these things right away if I had any problems with malignancies. I'd go to Europe or Mexico or somewhere, get away from. We don't have this kind of stuff in this country. We do have electrotherapies, of course. We use for the heart and for the brain. We know that there's electrical energy in the body, but we don't think much about it for electrotherapies. And they've studied this considerably in Europe, and that would be the thing to do. As I'm saying, sometimes extremely high amount of energy for certain conditions is too much. It swamps the organism, doesn't do a thing. Mm-hmm. But when it's real, real low, that's getting down where the organism can pick it up and do something with it without getting swamped. I guess you could call it noise.
Yeah, but it's kind of like that homeopathy thing. The more subtle, then,
mm-hmm.
the easier it can pick it up.
That's right. And
okay.
It's a possibility. I'm not saying that's the answer, but as we become better, our space research and the equipment we've developed for monitoring Earth from space becomes much more sensitive. We turn it on ourselves, and we're beginning to find out that you can spot incipient problems coming up in the body by looking at a large number of spectra at the same time, looking at the infrared and the ultraviolet and the sonic and the chemical and microwave and all this stuff coming from the body, and you do a baseline to see when the body is healthy, and then you come back later, take another picture like with x-ray they're doing now, and you find out what's different, and that can tell you when something is developing before you even know about it psychologically. So we have a lot of wonderful medical devices coming up.
Could do full spectrum.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, an electromagnetic spectrum. You've got everything from sub one cycle up to billions of cycles, gigahertz, like you've got on a cell phone. It's all on the spectrum. And the infrared and ultraviolet. Ultraviolet is just above vision. Vision is part of the ultrasonic spectrum. I mean, part of the electromagnetic spectrum.
So where would you go to get a test like that?
I'm sorry, where? Oh.
How would you get a test like that?
Well, you'd have to go to some place overseas. I tell you what, there'd be a good place to find some information now to go to bodyfields.com, EMFbodyfields.com. It's dealing with the German-Russian equipment that I've been using for 4 years here. I'm 74, and I've been using equipment for 4 years, and I had my first cold just a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't have to take any antibiotics. I toughed it out. It wasn't all that bad, lots of Kleenex and all that kind of stuff. But that kind of thing is pulse, low frequency, low intensity pulse electromagnetic fields in the particular window frequencies that are involved in bone healing and osteoporosis and sleep and more energy. I'm thinking about all these different settings that we have on the equipment. There's some equipment from Australia, too. At bodyfields.com, we'll give a good bit of information and some really good research that's gone on in Europe. As far as cell phone hazards are concerned, the best research that's been done is in Sweden. And there's been a good bit in England and Australia and New Zealand, places like that. It's all on my website. My links will help you people that might be interested in further information. Check it out. If you really want to know the whole story, the CDs, I have a radio interview on electrical sensitivity, why women are more sensitive than men, having more receptors on the cell surface because of reproductive capabilities than men do, about four times more sensitive to electrical stuff. And there's other aspects of it, but like I say, it's all in the book. In this case, it's all on the website. So,
now I want to ask you a little bit of a philosophical question. We've talked about consciousness throughout this interview. What is your definition of consciousness?
Charles Tart, one of the foremost researchers in the area, said consciousness is a garbage term, which is pretty good. It means many different things, many different people. I hesitate to try to define it because, again, since we're in the middle of it, we don't have a very good perspective on what it is. It's of course, awareness of our surroundings and being able to act in some way in concert by knowing what the environment is or the ability to affect the environment in some way. Of course, in our case, as humans, there's a communication aspect of it, too. But there's way, in my opinion, an oversight now of about 50 years of collecting data in this area. There's far more to the aspects of consciousness than perhaps we want to know. Now, some of this has been around now for thousands of years. It's a good idea to pay some attention to ancient myths and legends about some of the aspects of consciousness, but be careful to don't get caught up in belief structures. It's just that we know so little. What we're seeing now in consciousness is just a tip of the iceberg, learning something about ourselves. And some of these areas is kind of scary, and you don't want to learn because you learn what our capabilities are and how poorly we are at utilizing our creative capabilities.
And now that you bring that word up, what do you believe to be the source of creativity? And how do you think that creativity is conveyed through frequencies and waveform?
That's part of it, but I can't say all of its frequencies, waveforms. That's just part.
What else do you think?
Part of it. Creativity, to me, anyway. Just poor definition.
Source of creativity and source of intention. Where does it come from? And how? I mean, it must be through some kind of electromagnetism.
That's part of it. But that may be a very small part of it. We don't know where most of the information is stored in the body, but we don't know that that's every place it's stored. I'm familiar with some of the new phenomena that's coming along. It's been pretty well proved by Institute of Genetic Sciences that people can test the future up to about at least 5 seconds in the ahead of time in the tests that they have done, that you can transmit information from one person to another, especially a loved one or someone very close over quite a large distance. A lot of the stuff in the so-called psychic ESP area has been proved to have a good bit validity. Being able to control material objects at a distance, for example, has been very well proved. But who wants to pay attention to it? That's scary.
What about those? I just this thought occurred to me. What about those electronic voice phenomena things? someone, Daniel Brinkley said to me one time, take a recording, a digital recording of your loved ones right now, and save it. And at some point during the future, you'll be able to use some type of electronic voice machine, and it will be able to detect those resonant frequencies somewhere in the universe, and you'll be able to communicate with that loved one when it passes over.
Yeah, this sounds like you're talking about post-mortem communication or communicating with a dead relative or something.
That's exactly
like
what I'm talking about. Is that?
Well, that's raw dial voices were the first ones that came in on wire recorders at Ryan's Foundation. I spent a good bit of time there going through the books and talking to them back in the late 60s and did some research on electromagnetic fields on guessing the cards, and scored very high significance that the electrical fields I was using is total suppression of any ESP ability. And when the electrical device was turned off, I was able to score pretty high. So kind of been keeping an eye on all this unusual stuff for some decades. Now they're picking it up even on TV and tape recorders and stuff like that, it's claimed. I've heard some of the stuff way back in the 60s on the old type wire recorders and stuff like that. It's very hard to hear through the noise. And remember that human beings are always trying to make sense out of the noise, whether there's any information there or not, as far as visual is concerned and sound is concerned. But I'm intrigued by the whole situation. We know very little about the universe. We don't even know what the universe is, or where it comes from, or where it's going. So it's we're dealing in a whole host of mysteries here, and where are we coming, and where are we going, and what's the nature of the universe, what's the nature of consciousness. We've got to be humble and understand we know very little about ourselves. That's probably why we're in such a problem in the world these days. I don't know. I'm certainly have had an interesting life, and things are getting more interesting now with the capabilities of the Internet. But I just say don't believe in it too strongly, but keep an interest in it, because you never know. Well, here's an old saying that's been around for a long time. It says, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. And I've been around long enough where I was real weird back 40, 50 years ago, but now I'm seeing a lot of this stuff come together and begin to have some validity. What are we going to do with it? How are we going to use it? How are we going to get people to understand what it is and how to use it in a beneficial way, whatever all these different energies are all about?
I can understand. I've been called that name myself.
Yeah, well. But
there was one other thing that I thought about. I meant to ask you a few minutes ago. When using magnets to heal, do you have to use a particular kind of magnet, and does it matter which pole you put towards your body?
Well, I looked into that a little bit. I don't have that much background. There was quite a lot of work going on in Florida back in the 60s and 70s. I think a guy's name was Davis, D-A-V-I-S. Anyway, the polarity makes a difference, and the intensity, too, and they are can be used in healing, but generally work better on the people that are already sensitive to electrical things. The pulse electromagnetic known therapies there are far more effective in the short term, simply because they are changing all the time. The body doesn't have an opportunity to get used to the situation as it can to some degree with a magnet. But magnets do work. They've known about this, for thousands of years, about the actual working of magnets themselves, and they're still used in healing applications with somewhat skeptical looks from medical people, especially in this country. But I believe more in the pulsing electromagnetics myself and what they can do for you.
Well, I know what you're talking about there, but for my listeners, why don't you tell them what you mean when you say pulse electromagnetic?
Well, that's the electrical field going off and on so many times a second. Pulsing electromagnetics would be, you've got waveforms here that are occurring so many cycles per second. And pulsing means you'll have a bundle of these cycles per second. You might have maybe 100 cycles at, say, 7 cycles per second, about 100 cycles or so. Then there'll be a pause. Then it'll reverse polarity, and you'll have another bunch of a certain frequency. Now, see, that's pulsing. You've got pulsed bunches of frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to explain it. in a certain way that they know stimulates the biological system. That's where it's called pulse. And it was developed, part of this system I used was developed for the Russians on the Mir project, because the astronauts being out in space for months at a time would come back in and the calcium would be depleted in their bones because of the lack of gravity. And consequently, they'd be very careful about how they moved around, and they needed some kind of therapy to put the calcium back in the system. And that's what the pulse electromagnetics does. It helps regulate the calcium and get the body back into normal again by affecting the immune system, giving the immune system, it doesn't heal anything. It gives the immune system the energy so that the immune system heals the body in the way the body was designed to heal itself. And this is what's so important and why pulse electromagnetics is so important from an electrotherapy standpoint.
We've got about 5 minutes, and I have one more question I want to ask you about that.
Sure.
You know, the body has, I guess, frequencies and hertz of, I think, of up to about 80,000 going up to the brain. A lot of these people that use these pulsing machines that go up to like 100,000 hertz or like that Rife machine that goes up to like 200,000 hertz, goes up and down, up and down. I can't.
Well, you go up and down.
What happens
one thing here we've got that we didn't talk about is something called harmonics. And you can have principal frequencies of almost anything you want to name, and there's going to be harmonics, which is multiplying the frequency by itself. If it's 10 hertz, you'll have something at 20 hertz, maybe 30 hertz. Anyway, it's a harmonic. It comes in here, and it can be a lower frequency or a higher frequency. And the body just takes what it wants out of a broad band frequency. A lot of these instruments that you're talking about, the Rife and many others, have a pretty broad band frequency. And also, they have been tested to some extent on people, and they know just about what frequency ranges are effective. I sometimes don't believe they know all the frequencies that are involved in these things, but they're just looking for something that's biologically effective. Some of these things will go all the way up into microwave frequencies. A lot of this is a little bit as good, but a whole bunch over a long term can be hazardous to your health. And
what
there's that aspect too.
What happens, you know, let's say that the highest frequency in the body is 80,000, but you have a machine that goes up to like 150,000. Does the brain just, does the body just pick out the 80,000? Or does it pick up the whole 150 and it do damage?
Oh, it will take out as far as I know, the body doesn't utilize the really high frequencies. It just utilizes the lower frequencies, and you're always going to, unless you've got some really super-duper filters in your equipment, you're always going to have some of these low-frequency components.
Mm-hmm.
And the body will take out what it needs in these areas that the equipment is radiating. But it's not taking out any 80,000 cycles, things like that. Because often there's a low frequency and all this high frequency is riding on it, and the effects are on the low frequency, the penetrating low frequencies into the body, not on the real high frequencies. It's a pretty complex situation. And myself, as an engineer and a user of this equipment, I certainly prefer the lower intensities down in the Earth's frequencies that have to do with healing, and have been tested plenty in work gone on in Germany. As an engineer, I'm not going to pay a couple of thousand for a piece of equipment and not have it be extremely well researched. And often on a lot of this equipment, while it may work, they don't have the money or the facilities to really research it in depth. And so I want to hedge my bets, so to speak, that I've got a good piece of equipment.
Yeah, that's what worries me about this
equipment. Yeah, that's what worries me about a lot of it. That's why I say get a good money-back guarantee. So some people can't get near a Rife machine and some of these other Tesla coil type machines without getting a headache, sick, disoriented, nauseous, all this kind of stuff. Because the wellness conference they had in Bethesda last year, we were right across from one of these machines and with their body fields equipment, and the salesperson couldn't stand it. She had to leave the area because she's electrically sensitive, you see? That kind of.
Well, we've got just enough time for you to tell us again where to find you.
Oh.
And your contact information in case somebody wants to take a look at your work and ask some questions or maybe...
Well, thank you
for
the opportunity. That's www.emfinterface.com. antenna information on microwave is antennasearch.com, all one word. A good place to get information and equipment is envirotest.com, www.envirotest. There's many connections in my link system and my extensive website, including what I do as far as inspecting properties and homes and businesses.
And do you have an email address?
I'm sorry?
Do you have an email address for people to
call? Oh, yeah. Email is emfeffects@aol.com. EMFEFFECTS. EMFEffects@aol.com.
And I'm going to just pull your philosophical side of you now. If you have one thing to say to the world that would or could make a difference, what would that be?
Be curious. Question everything. Don't believe everything you read or hear. Find out these things for yourself, but above all, be curious and appreciate the environment, appreciate the earth, and, we have so much going for us, and we want to keep ourselves healthy in any way we can, and I believe the electromagnetic spectrum, is the one area that will help bring us additional healthful benefits.
Jim, thanks so much for being with me tonight. And I hope you'll come back because you got some other things I want to talk to you about, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, as I said, there's so much on my website. As being in this area for over 50 years, I've tried to pull things together where people can get some benefit out of just reading what's on the website. And that's so important. The Internet is such a miracle these days for all of us to exchange information.
Thanks again, and agape to you.
God bless, and a happy new year, a wonderful new year for everyone.
Good night.